Welcome to Big Billy Kender Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club. When we're not in the great outdoors, we're thinking about it. Come on into the camp house and make yourself at home.
Hi, I'm Billy Kender, and you're a welcome guest in this old camp house each and every week at Big Billy Kender Outdoors, where we talk hunting, fishing, the shooting sports, God's great outdoors. And it doesn't matter if you are interested and want to learn, get started, or if you're a seasoned veteran, we have plenty for everybody. There's plenty to go around. So come on in here. Make yourself at home. Front Door to the Camp House is brought to you by a great product called Calming Care. Calming Care from the trusted name Purina. It very gently, safely, over time, calms the overactive dog, the overjumper, the overbarker. Calming Care. Your vet can tell you more about it. Hey, I want to invite you to get in touch with us. Let us know where you're listening to the show. If there's something we can do better, let us know. If you like what you hear, tell a friend. My email address is billy@bbkoradio.com. The website, of course, bbkoradio.com, like Big Billy Kender Outdoors. And my email address is billy@bbkoradio.com. The phone number here in the old camp house, 1-877-820-BBKO, 1-877-820-2256. Got a great show lined out for you today. It's Father's Day weekend, so happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. If you missed last week's show, you may want to go to the website and listen to the podcast from last week's show. Some great gift ideas on there. And this week, we have great camp house company. We're going to turn our attention towards rattlesnakes. We're depending upon a couple of our very top dog training pros, Tom Dockin up in Minnesota, Ronnie Smith in Oklahoma. Ronnie is going to talk to us about the rattlesnake vaccine for our dogs. He has used it in his kennel and his hunting dogs, personal dogs, for years. So we'll tap into his wisdom on that. And then Tom Dockin is going to talk to us about snake avoidance training. And you know, whether you own a hunting dog or not, if you live in a rural area where you coexist with snakes, venomous snakes, you might want to have your dog snake broke. We're going to talk about snake avoidance training or snake breaking a little later on with him. And my old friend Lewis Rather is here from International Wildlife Crime Stoppers. I know we're all familiar with our home state programs like Texas, where I live. It's Operation Game Thief, with a toll-free phone number provided so that we, as outdoorsmen, can turn in thieves and cheaters when we see them in the outdoor world, the hunting or fishing world. Well, there's an international version of our state programs called International Wildlife Crime Stoppers. They do great work. Lewis Rather is the big boss over there. He joins us later. Plus, Cody Wood from Aguila Ammunition. Cody is the head guy in research and development at Aguila. And they're researching and developing really hard and fast right now because California has a new law. Beginning July 1st, no lead ammo. You cannot hunt with lead ammo or traditional lead ammo beginning July 1st in California. So, what are some alternative methods? We'll talk to Cody about that and how those methods will respond when we pull the trigger. Pour yourself a glass of iced tea or a hot cup of coffee, whatever you prefer. Prop your feet up and enjoy the camp house here today at Big Billy Kender Outdoors. Great news last week from the Interior Department as they announced the expansion of 1.4 million acres for public hunting and fishing. There are more than 560 national wildlife refuges nationwide. This proposed rule will significantly increase public hunting and fishing opportunities, spanning 74 refuges. We just talked about it a minute ago. Big changes for you hunters in California starting July 1st. California will require all wildlife hunters to use only non-leaded ammunition. The non-lead ammo requirement includes hunting on public land, private property, licensed game bird clubs. It applies to rifles, shotguns, pistols, and muzzle loaders in any gauge or caliber for the take of any legal species. Speaking of California, folks are buying ammo like it's going out of style out there. And I guess you could say it kind of is. Another new state law that will clamp down on individuals trying to buy ammo. It's called Prop 63. The law will create more restrictions on ammo buyers by forcing them to buy face-to-face from licensed dealers rather than on the internet. In South Dakota, the South Dakota Department of Game, Fish, and Parks is asking you, please, don't mow the ditch. Roadside ditches provide valuable nesting cover, especially in portions of the state with limited lands enrolled in the CRP or other programs that would encourage upland nesting habitat. They're trying to get a good pheasant hatch, and those ditches along the side of the road help greatly with that. The last time Grandma came over to the house, did Rover knock her down? Oh, he wasn't being mean. He was expressing his love for her. His tail was wagging the whole time, but he's a little rough. That's where calming care might help you out from my friends at Purina. Calming care gently works over time to settle your dog. And your vet can tell you more about calming care. You folks that favor the fly rod know all about the Wyoming Cut Slam. It's a challenge. Anglers have to catch Wyoming's four subspecies of cutthroat trout, the Bonneville, the Colorado River, the Snake River, and the Yellowstone, in their respective native range. You're going to see some beautiful country as you attempt the Cut Slam in Wyoming. There's an interactive mapping tool that will help you get started, and there's a link at bbkoradio.com.
I'm Larry Potterfield with Midway USA. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm always thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
Hi, I'm Corey Mason, Executive Director of Dallas Safari Club, and I want to welcome you to our show on great radio stations across the country and Sirius XM Channel 131. With humble beginnings, Dallas Safari Club began to grow through the years, as did our efforts to conserve wild things and wild places. Our membership has stretched beyond Dallas, Texas, and now reaches around the globe. We have continued to conserve precious resources, teach future outdoorsmen and women about the pure, safe joy of our outdoor heritage, and stand strong to protect your right to hunt, fish, and enjoy the shooting sports. Many thousands have seen the importance of our work and joined us at DSC. Safari can be an overnight camping trip at a state park or a hunt on a foreign continent. We at DSC celebrate safari near and far, and our hope through our partnership with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors is that you will see the importance of this work and become a part of it with us. To learn more about our mission and for membership information, spend a few minutes with us at biggame.org.
Isn't it time to check that South Dakota pheasant hunt off of your bucket list? Isn't it about time to step back in time to a simpler era when the cackle of a mature rooster is followed by the smell of smoke from your barrel and maybe a chuckle or two from your buddies after that oh-so-close miss? Spring Creek Hunting and Fishing Resort, just north of Pierce, South Dakota, is that place in time where taking good care of our guests is the priority every day, year after year. At Spring Creek, South Dakota, we know that a warm and welcome lakeside cabin with private bath and big screen TV is just what you need after enjoying our 35,000 plus acres of pheasant country. When you come stay with us at Spring Creek Fishing and Hunting Resort, you can expect the best pheasant hunting that South Dakota has to offer, along with the best bed, the best steak, and the best time of your life. Talk to us about private charter jet service and come see us at springcreeksd.com. National outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby knows of what he writes.
I think I probably hunted in just about every western state. And I fly fished in a lot of those places.
He's fished the waters, walked the land, and harvested the game that makes him authentic.
That's where the basis of that comes from. I wanted to make this really authentic, and I wanted people to identify with it. Guys like you and I have a real hard time finding good stuff to read, because it's written by guys that just don't know what the heck they're writing about. And guys like you and I, we read two pages and we say, hey, that's phony. This is not the way it is.
Ever since The Old Man and the Sea, fishing novels have been scarce on the horizon. That was until national outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby wrote his Blue Water classic, The Tournament. Chuck Winchler of Sporting Classics says you can read The Tournament in about the time it takes to catch a big marlin. And every moment will be just as fun, just as exciting. Jennifer Mayhall of Paradise This Week says, The Tournament reels you into the world of sport fishing and doesn't let you go. The Tournament by Ken Kirkaby. Get it on Amazon.
For the land of the free and the home of the brave. From high school gyms to towering stadiums, every time I see our flag wave, I feel a humbling reminder of the brave who keep and have kept us free. I stand to honor the sacrifices of the generations before me. Heroes who charged in the battle through bombs and bullets, who lost their brothers and still pushed through, fighting for every inch of our freedom. I stand for my brothers who can't stand anymore, men who hunted terrorists to the ends of the earth, who sacrificed their bodies and their lives so that we could peacefully live ours. I stand for the children, the spouses, and parents whose family made the ultimate sacrifice for us. We are all standing. We're the National Rifle Association of America, and we are freedom's safest place.
I'm looking at a 12 with a 10-inch drop time. Y'all go on inside. The whole Dallas Safari Club bunch is in there with Big Billy Kender Outdoors.
The Dallas Safari Club meets monthly at chapters across the U.S. If you'd like to attend or start a chapter in your neighborhood, visit biggame.org.
Check out the bragging board at bbkoradio.com. The bragging board features Jordan Garcia. Jordan caught her first fish the other day, just a few months before her third birthday. A keeper crappie, that's the way to start your crappie fishing career, Jordan. Great job. Her dad, Jeremy, sent the picture into the bragging board at bbkoradio.com, and I invite you to do the same thing. Real easy to upload photos and a brief description of your hunt, your fishing trip from your Android, your iPhone, your tablet, your laptop, whatever. bbkoradio.com, and be sure and drop me a note. Let me know where you hear the show. billy@bbkoradio.com. Let's jump on that Big Billy Kender Outdoors trot line now and head north of Tulsa, Oklahoma, up to Ronnie Smith Kennels and one of our dog training pros, Ronnie Smith. Sure good to have you with us, Ronnie, as always. And we've reached that point in the year where I bet you're up really early in the morning and working dogs before the sun comes up.
Yes, sir. Trying to beat the heat.
Yeah. The circle goes round and round. Hey, I want to talk about something that you and I talked about several years ago, and I want to see if you're still as big a fan of the rattlesnake vaccine now as you were then.
Yeah, Bill, we are. We still believe in the vaccine, and we vaccinate all of our dogs and recommend that any of the client dogs that might come in contact with rattlesnakes, whether it's in Montana or Texas, get the vaccine as well. We've had good success with it. I know there is some people out there that don't think it's any good, and that's fine. But we sure believe in it.
Yeah, and you've seen this vaccine actually work before. You told me a story several years ago about a lab, I believe it was, that was nursing puppies and stepped out of the barn and got bit.
Yeah. Yeah, it was in a welcome box, and then went outside and went around the corner of the barn and was barking at something and yelped, and then came back and after further investigation realized that she'd been bit by a diamondback, a rattlesnake, and in 17 hours she was nursing puppies again. Swelling had gone down, not very, very little necrosis. Just again, really believe in that vaccine.
How does this vaccine work? Is it an antivenom, or what's the theory behind it?
Yeah, I don't know that I know enough about it to elaborate. But my understanding is that it is supposed to build a resistance. And I know sometimes when we vaccinate a dog that we will get a sterile cyst at the vaccination point. And, you know, I've read things online where that is not favorable. But I've also spoken with some veterinarians that say if you get that type of reaction, then that is a good thing. And we don't always get that sterile cyst, but sometimes we do. On occasion, we do. But, yeah, it is again, my understanding is just to enable them to fight that off better than without it. So we'll give a vaccination, and 30 days later, you'll give a booster, and then it becomes an annual shot after that. If you're in an area where there's a likelihood of seeing snakes year-round, they advise giving the shot every 6 months, and we have done that too.
Okay, yeah, and why wouldn't you? Why, you know, I've just like you, hunted Montana and Texas for years, and on many, many occasions, those hunts involve rattlesnakes, especially in September and October, early part of the year when it's still warm, and certainly you guiding down in South Texas for many years, rattlesnakes are just part of the game. So why wouldn't you take that preventative measure? How costly are the vaccines, Ronnie?
You know, what we're doing is about $25 a vaccination. So, you know, it's $50 initially for the two vaccinations, and then it becomes a $25 annual vaccination. And we'll still do some snake avoidance. But there are situations that you come across when you're out there hunting that the dog doesn't know the snake's there. You know, I've seen dogs running along and have a snake just reach out and bite them on the rib cage, and dog didn't even know it was there. So you can't, I don't think that you can always rely on the snake avoidance, or let me say this, you shouldn't just depend on the snake avoidance. And in doing quite a bit of that, there are some dogs that you can take to that avoidance course and it lasts for life. And Bill, there are some dogs that shoot in 60 days, they need to do it again. So we just try to cover all bases, use the vaccine, snake avoidance, and be careful.
$25 is a pretty cheap life insurance policy on your investment, your bird dog. I know he's your buddy, but he's also an investment by the time you buy that pup, have him trained up, ready to go, and feed him every day. It becomes an investment. So $25 well spent. Ronnie, as always, thank you for your expertise. And if folks want to learn more about you and Susanna and your training and what you have available, they can see you online, right?
That's right. Our website is ronniesmithkennels.com, and our email address is office@ronniesmithkennels.com.
And, of course, if you'll come see me at bbkoradio.com, we have a pro page. All of our show pros are there, and you can click on any of them and learn more about them and their services. More about rattlesnakes and dogs coming up with Tom Dockin up at his Oak Ridge Kennels in Northfield, Minnesota, in just a few minutes. Hey, you know, workouts with our bird dogs, warm weather workouts, travel, changes in water, changes in routine, all of these things can bring on GI upset in our dogs. And I know of one thing that settles it. Fortiflora from Purina Veterinary Diets. Fortiflora. Order it from Chewy.com. They'll deliver it right to the kennel. Ray Sasser was an extremely talented outdoor writer for the Dallas Morning News for more than 30 years. His Thursday and Sunday columns, well, that was one of the first things you thought of when you woke up on those particular days. What's Ray writing about today? He was also our Camp House storyteller here at BBKO Radio up until his death just over a year ago. We sure miss him, but we're awfully thankful that we have those stories preserved and we can go back and hear them again. Here is my friend Ray Sasser.
Bill, I was fishing with Kevin Van Dam one time over here in Bosque County, and I said, Kevin, give me three tips that will make a guy a better bass fisherman. He said, number one is you have to learn to cast better, because the bass are, they hide out around logs and trees and stumps and stuff, and he said, you know, if you put the bait right on the money, the fish will just reach up and grab it when it sinks down to them. He said, but if you miss the cast by 4 or 5 feet, you'll never get the bite. So number one is learn how to cast better. So number two, when you're fishing for fun, practice some new technique that you don't ordinarily use. There's all kinds of ways to catch fish out there. Most of us get stuck on one particular deal. Number three, he said, and this is a good one, maybe the best one. He said, go fishing with different people. So if you and your buddy always fish together, you teach him what you know, he teaches you what he knows, and you never learn anything new. And then he said, I learned something useful from almost everybody I fish with.
Did he happen to tell you that day, Ray, what he had learned from you?
He'd learned not to give away tips, I think.
Ray was such a gentle and intelligent man. I always really, really enjoyed my time spent with him. We loved to turkey hunt together, did a little crappie fishing. But mostly, we just sat and talked. I'm going to make a little run to the coffee pot, but when I come back, we're headed for Minnesota. Our friend Tom Dockin is standing by. We're talking snakes and dogs.
Folks, this is Jay Novacek, and when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
Hey guys, don't lose that bragfish today. We've all done it. A weak hook set, a late sweep with the rod, giant jumpers that throw that heavy jig back in our faces. The folks at Trapper Tackle have solved the lost fish issue. For the first time in forever, there's meaningful innovation in the fish hook. The Trapper Tackle iCast Best in Show winner 2 years back-to-back has a unique patented design that locks your catch until you have her in your hands. It's this one-of-a-kind locking system that keeps your plastics in place, cast after cast after cast, too. Trapper Tackle makes hooks for all finesse, live bait, and plastics presentations. Treble hooks for your hard baits, too. When you first take a look at Trapper Tackle hooks, you'll probably scratch your head. When you pose up with that behemoth that didn't get away, you'll smile ear to ear. Trapper Tackle and Bill Lewis have partnered a legend with a state-of-the-art hook design to produce the Rattle Trapper. You need some of those, too. Get them at TrapperTackle.com. Lock them in and load the boat. TrapperTackle.com. You've never seen a more complete archery and event center than Cinnamon Creek Ranch. It's world-class. There's nothing else like it anywhere.
We offer a chance for archers to come and shoot indoors. We have 10 yards, 20 yards, 30 yards. You can shoot 40 yards in here. We have a conference room upstairs. We have several companies that come here and do their monthly meetings, business network meetings. We have the facilities for that. We also have a full kitchen. We can cater lunch for you. We do a lot of different team building events for corporate outings. When you're out on the golf course in a corporate outing, you're spending time with three other people for 4.5 hours. We're here, a company comes out and they've got 30 or 40 employees. They're all able to hang out together and just relax and have a good time. It's our job to make sure that that happens.
A fresh new approach to corporate outings. And your kids have never had this much fun at a birthday party. Learn a lot more when you come visit us at CinnamonCreekRanch.com. CinnamonCreekRanch.com. There's a place I love to go in the pristine Texas Hill Country that features first-class lodging, outstanding cuisine, world-class wing shooting, the best free-range access deer hunting in the world, my favorite, by the way, plus native whitetails and turkey, and some of the most comfortable hosts that you've ever enjoyed. Don't forget to throw in the fly rod. You'll want to experience the crystal-clear waters of Joshua Creek and the Guadalupe River. Rolling hills and Texas live oaks, friendly smiles, and spring-fed waters. Orvis and Beretta agree that Joshua Creek is one of the finest hunting and shooting ranches in existence, and I think you will too. You won't find a prettier place to get married. And our staff and facilities will make your corporate event, family reunion, or private party turnkey and the best you'll ever experience. Joshua Creek Ranch in the historic Texas Hill Country between San Antonio and Fredericksburg. Want to go? Of course you do. JoshuaCreek.com.
This is a public service announcement test from TakeMeFishing.org to determine if you need a fishing license and boat registration before heading out on the water. Let's begin. Are you a bear? Do you have a beak? Does your name rhyme with Ald Beagle? Do you dart in front of cars? Here's a tough one. Do you have plumage? Do you rub your body against things to mark them? Do you have webbed feet? No, I mean like a... Were you hatched? Do you have fur? I'm not talking back hair. Does your boat fly south for the winter with the other boats? Regardless of how you answered, you need to be licensed and registered because it helps local conservation efforts protect the very natural resources you enjoy boating and fishing in for generations to come. Do your part at TakeMeFishing.org.
You know, as bird hunters and bird dog owners, We've seen our wild bird hunting opportunities dwindle in recent years. And if you, like me, don't want to kennel your bird dog in the spring just to let him hibernate till fall, then you should take a long look at the world's largest field trial organization, the National Shoot to Retrieve Association, or NASTRA. This was the very idea of NASTRA's founding fathers back in the 1960s. They wanted to extend time in the field with the dogs that they loved. And it must have been a pretty good idea, because over the years, many thousands of men, women, teens, and families have enjoyed participating in NASTRA field trials. All pointing breeds are welcome, and there's no need to be intimidated. NASTRA sponsors over 1,000 field trials across the U.S. and Canada each year. It's at these trials where your dog can earn his NASTRA championship, qualify for entry into your regional championship, and NASTRA's 5 national championships. Take a look at our website, nstra.org, and consider visiting a local trial. We look forward to meeting you.
From the rough brush of South Texas to the thick bush of South Africa, it's Big Billy Kender Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club.
Wild sheep in the western U.S. water at desert guzzlers, providing life-sustaining moisture where there was none. Look closely. DSC fingerprints are there. BigGame.org.
Hey, I'm Billy Kender, your host right here at BBKO Radio. Thank you so much for spending a little time in the camp house with us. Sure do appreciate that. Drop us a note sometime. We want to know where you hear the show. My email address is billy@bbkoradio.com. billy@bbkoradio.com. Let's jump on that Big Billy Kender Outdoors trot line now and head way north. We're going to Northfield, Minnesota, to Tom Dawkins' world-famous Oak Ridge Kennels, and we're going to talk about snake-breaking our bird dogs, or dogs in general. If you live in a rural area, there's snakes around the place, this might be good advice for you, too. Tom, welcome back to the show. I guess by now you have probably thawed out from what was a brutal winter up there in Minnesota.
Well, I'll tell you what, it lasted forever. And then, you know, you've been hearing about lots of conditions around the United States, and rain, and cold. And, you know, the farmers are, I mean, they're just scratching by here trying to get crops in, and this is super late. So,
yeah.
You know, you never know what you're going to get up here, for sure.
I know. I've hunted up north enough to know that sometimes in December when I'm up there, I'm in shorts. And sometimes in December when I'm up there, I'm out buying more clothes to put on top of what I already have. So, I was commiserating with you folks during the winter, watching what was happening there. Hey, it's not winter anymore. It's rattlesnake season now, and I want to talk to you a little bit about snake avoidance training, snake breaking. People call it different things. Are you an advocate of snake avoidance training, and do you do that?
Well, you know, here in Minnesota, we're a little bit, you know, inoculated from, you know, the rattlesnake situation, but. I got to tell you, though, you skip over into the Dakotas, which all of us do, and as soon as you get close to that Missouri River, I mean, you got to be thinking about it. One of the big hunting operations that we train dogs for, I mean, out there by the river, yeah, I mean, it's you can't avoid it, especially if you're a little bit of a traveling sportsman. I mean, you got to do it. You know, you get into Nebraska, you get into Kansas, you get into South Dakota. You start heading west, you know that. I mean, it's something you got to be thinking about.
Tell folks that have no clue what we're talking about, what is snake avoidance training for our dog?
Well, basically it is, and, you know, in just really easy terms, is if your dog comes upon a snake, you want him to think that that's the last thing in the world that he wants to get close to or even check out. So, you know, the avoidance, you know, and there's always little tweaks on how people do avoidance training, but bottom line is, and it seems like the most effective way to do this, you know, remote collars are, you know, commonplace now in training. And the most common thing is you want to get somebody who's done this. You know, okay, you don't want to just go out and say, let's find a snake and see if we can get our dog to avoid it. So there's guys that will do snake breaking. The common way is to have one. They have one in a box, you know, where there's enough scent that the dog can actually smell it. And let the dog come up to it. He's wearing a remote collar. And you really don't want to get in the middle of adding a lot of commands to this. You want them to get up there, make contact with that box where the dog can't get struck, and they're going to get a really heavy correction. You know, they're going to, what you're doing here is you're going, I want you to think that you never want to encounter this again. Now, in remote collar training, you know, it kind of goes the other way where we're always going with the lightest corrections as we can for obedience and control. But think about this. What you're trying to do is you're trying to save that dog's life somewhere down the line. So you want this to be the most unpleasant thing that he could actually come in contact with. No different than if you go like, you know what, if I could save this dog from running out into a vehicle, or if a dog, or into a road and the dog was going to get into a vehicle, I mean, you wouldn't hope that he's going to stop. You'd want a heavy enough correction that he knows that he's not supposed to be there. And then, you know, the process from there would go from, you know, and letting the dog go up there, sniff it, get some corrections. You know, it doesn't take too many, especially if you're going up on that high level of correction. But you know this, all dogs are different. And prey drive with some of these dogs is extremely high. And anytime they see something moving, they just can't leave it alone. So you want to have several sessions like that, if at all possible. And then, you know, they'll even take it to another level. They'll have a defang snake, one that's not going to be able to, you know, cause any kind of a serious injury or any injury, and have it out of a box and let that dog come up to it. And then, you know, a lot of times that snake is going to want to strike out, but it's also going to be a heavy, heavy correction as well. So two things, smell and then sight. And then if you got a rattlesnake, it's going to be sound. So there, you want that connection. And I talk with enough people that are in snake country that it's normally not a one and done thing. It's one of those deals where you want to make sure that it's done right. But then a lot of these dogs need a reminder, you know, at least once a year, go back and remind them. Because, you know, this isn't like something small. I mean, you could lose your dog, so you got to be careful.
Absolutely. I was going to ask you about retention, and I know, like you said, all dogs are different, so a refresher once a year is a great idea. If you have a young bird dog and you're in the training phase, is snake avoidance training with that heavy pressure on them something you want to avoid until your dog is finished, or can we do this a little younger?
Yeah, that's a great question, because, you know, and I just talked to a gentleman who's out in Phoenix, and he's going to be sending his young dog, 5-month-old puppy, for us to start working with. And he wanted to go, he said, I want to get him snake broke right now. Well, I know that through our training process here, we're going to have that dog introduced to the remote collar for all of his basic obedience and all of those things. And I want that first collar contact not to be a severe contact. I want that dog to be responsive to it, because remember, a lot of times if you go to high level, anytime then you back down to a low level, your dog may respond to those lower levels even greater, because the potential, he knows that correction could get higher. So I always say I want it lighter, just like I would want if somebody was going to have an invisible fence, you know, the in-ground fencing. I always say, let us get the dog conditioned to the collar for his basic obedience first before you start that. And the reason's a little bit different, where if a dog approaches an in-ground fence where a boundary and he gets a correction, his idea is to back away from it, obviously. Well,
right,
then that would
yeah.
translate if you have a dog out at a distance and he won't come when called, but he's looking at you and he gets a correction, he's going to back away versus come to you. So that was a great question, because in a lot of cases, if that remote collar is going to be used for a lot of different aspects of training, I would rather get everything else out of the way before I do that.
There you go. And, of course, this is not just for bird dogs. If you live in a rural setting and you have snakes around your property, your place, it'd be wise to check with Tom or someone near you that does snake avoidance training and have your dogs done occasionally to a little refresher course now and then to keep them away from those snakes. Tom, always great stuff, and we greatly appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Billy, always fun, and thanks for having me on.
Hey, if folks want to take a look at you online, learn more about your products and services, where do they go?
Well, you can go to Dockens, DOKKENS.com, and they can check out our dog training there, and they can also check out our training products.
Perfect. We'll see you somewhere soon.
Thanks, Billy.
Tom Dockens, he wrote the book and made the video on training your bird dog. Check out all of our show pros at BBKORadio.com. BBKORadio.com. Got a question for one of our pros? Want to hear it on the air? Call me, 1-877-820-BBKO, and ask your question. Leave your question there, 1-877-820-2256, or email that question to me, Billy@BBKORadio.com, and I'll ask these guys on air for you.
I'm Craig Boddington. When I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it at Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
Outdoorsmen and women like to be well-equipped. We also travel extensively and need restaurants, fuel, and rooms. And no matter where the fisherman or hunter travels in the U.S. or Canada, BBKO Radio is there. This just might be the perfect spot for you to tell us about your products and services. The BBKO Radio Network, an affordable way to reach every farm, road, and city with your message. To learn more, come see us at BBKORadio.com.
At Cornerstone Bible Church in Roanoke, Texas, we teach the Bible, nothing more or less. The simple truth of God's love for us, even though we are all sinners in need of His grace. He supplied that grace through His Son Jesus so that none would perish but have everlasting life. Come worship with us at 10:15 Sunday mornings on Litzy Road in Roanoke or in the Boat or Deer Blind at csbiblechurch.org.
Every animal that has ever roamed this planet was designed as hunted or hunter, predator or prey. We are hunters. If it were ever necessary, even the strictest vegan would return to the wild, driven to survive by the instincts of his ancestors. Those who hide behind the soft delusion of their own ignorance do so from within a civilization whose very being costs the lives of countless creatures every single day. Death is an undeniable fuel of life. This is the undeniable truth of existence. To live in balance with the planet that sustains us, we must admit and embrace the nature within us. Trust the hunter in your blood.
If your hunting blind isn't comfortable enough to keep you in the field all day, you're hunting from the wrong blind and missing a ton of opportunity for success. Does your blind keep the wind and rain on the outside and have drip rails on the windows to keep your view clear? How about friction hinges on the windows? Just lift and let go. Do you have a 360 view of your country without opening a door? Quiet marine-grade carpet and locking aluminum doors? Insulated flooring? These features are all standard on lightweight, tough as a hammer, Dillon hunting blinds. If your terrain calls for a view above the mesquite flats or other obstructions, check out Dillon's safe and strong platforms with handrails and porches for the occasional stretch. Dillon blinds are available in sizes that fit your situation to a T, with windows suited for rifle, bow, or both. Lightweight and durable fiberglass blinds from Dillon are at DillonManuf.com. Stay longer. Shoot more deer in a Dillon. If you visit an outdoor show that features hunting, fishing, and outdoor products, you might just run into my friends Ron and Teresa Miskin with Buffalo Wool Company. When you do, do yourself a huge favor and stop for a visit. When I did, I made a discovery that has greatly impacted my time in the field and on the boat. Ron explained to me that his buffalo wool gloves, socks, hats, and accessories are made from the underhair. Beneath the big shaggy guard hair lies a secondary coat. These fibers are what the buffalo depends on to keep him warm. Those fibers make up the socks and gloves at Buffalo Wool Company. Hey, it's been several years, and I truthfully don't know how many pairs of buffalo wool gloves, socks, and hats that I own. I simply know that they are as important to me as my rifle. They're warmer than wool and allow me to stay in the field comfortably, no matter the weather conditions, all day long. Try them for yourself. Buffalo Wool Company offers a 100% money-back guarantee, but you'll keep them. Learn more about these super high-quality products at TheBuffaloWoolCo.com.
We screened that porch in just for you. Glad you enjoy it. You're in camp with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors and the Dallas Safari Club.
Three buses loaded with kids and parents roll down the highway just like thousands before them have done, all at the invite of the DSC to learn the legacy of the outdoors. Be a part of this at biggame.org.
I mentioned at the top of the show when we first kicked off today that beginning July 1st, no more lead ammunition for hunters in California. If you hunt birds, any kind of wildlife, public property, private property, bird farms, whatever, non-lead bullets. That's a big change for you folks, and I want to talk to an expert about that. He works for Agula Ammunition in research and development. Cody Wood, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Billy.
Out in California, things are changing July 1st. Hunters, bird hunters, big game hunters, varmint hunters, rabbit season opens up pretty soon, July 1st, as a matter of fact, in California, are going to have to make the transition from lead to non-lead ammo. And, you know, that presents challenges for folks. We need to get to the range and practice a little before opening day because the trajectory of our bullet, I would assume, is just not going to be the same.
That's correct.
What kind of differences will we see when we move from a lead bullet to steel or whatever come July 1st in California?
Yeah, so basically if you're kind of focusing on maybe the shot shell side of things first, if you're moving to a steel type or a non-toxic shot, just using the shot shell to start out with, basically steel is about a third lighter than lead, so it's going to not fly as far in range, basically. So, and then at the same time, if you're looking at the shot shell pellets, steel pellets, most people are pretty familiar with the waterfowl hunting. Basically, you're going to have a much tighter grouping at a closer range, and the balls, the pellets themselves, actually will not deform like lead on impact. So with that kind of being said, you're going to have really increased velocities, but you're going to reduce your target distance, your lead distance, basically. So that's going to be probably your biggest impact starting right off the bat.
Can you give us an example of that? Like if we hunt turkeys and we are very confident in a 60-yard shot with our heavy turkey load lead, how far is that going to back us up? What do we need to do? We need to wait on that bird a little longer, see if we can get him into 30 yards? That much of a difference?
Well, what you would generally do is you'd actually go up in your steel shot size. So you're generally not going to shoot the same steel shot size as your lead shot. So, for example, if you're shooting a lead number two shot, you're probably going to go up to a steel number four shot to get the same equivalent of your lead shot, basically. Because also realize, though, when you do go up to kind of get that same type of range at 60 yards, you're going to have less pellets because you're going up to a larger steel pellet, basically. So that's going to increase your risk of missing because you're not going to have that spread like you generally did with lead shot.
Yeah, we've got some thinking to do. Let's talk about our big game hunters. I've got buddies, Larry Wysoon, guys that love to hunt deer out in Northern California, and now they're going to have to conform to non-lead ammo. And I would think that this is, just like the shotgun shell, going to affect our long-range shooting more than anything.
Right. And so, I mean, with that being said, kind of doing the long-range ammo side of things with steel shot, again, it's going to be lighter than lead. So you're going to have probably the manufacturers are going to be trying to achieve a much higher velocity because you're going to lose that over the long distance as well. And so that's where you're really going to see that factor play in is kind of really getting out to the range and playing with really the non-lead shots, and that's really going to take a little bit of rethinking, like you kind of mentioned, Billy, and really thinking through how you're shooting and how you were shooting prior and completely changing kind of that same mindset to, okay, I'm going to have to go up in a little bit different shot size. If I'm using shot shell, I'm going to have to be a little bit more accurate and realize that my spread shot is actually going to be a much tighter conform, and then also I'm not going to be able to shoot nearly as far as I was able to shoot with my lead shot.
Cody, will a lead bullet drop faster over a period of a couple hundred yards, say, than a steel bullet?
Not necessarily. It depends on the grain weight of the lead bullet. Obviously, that's why I always tell a lot of our shooters here at Aguila to really focus in on the subsonic shots, or the subsonic ammo, is because the subsonic actually loses the least amount of energy over a long period distance. And so generally, taking our 22s, for example, a lot of people love our 22s, and they'll sit there and ask the questions about, well, hey, if I shoot this super high velocity, it's going to get to the target faster. And that's true. You're just going to actually have less force when it hits the target. And so that's where the subsonic, you know, for a 22, for example, say it's 1,500 feet per second, and you're going to lose 400 feet per second by the time it hits 100 yards, where, say, maybe our 60 grain subsonic ammo is out at 100 yards, and it's, say, it's about 1,000 feet per second. It's actually going to be a little bit closer to about 900 feet per second by the time it hits the target, and actually not lose as much energy. So that's where
okay. It
kind of plays into factor there.
And that goes back to our longer range shots. You guys are going to have to rethink that 250-yard shot maybe a little bit. How about variance? Is that bullet going to move around more, or will we see much of a difference there?
You shouldn't see too much of a variance. I mean, again, it's going to come down to the weight, and, of course, that's really where it's going to take a factor, because obviously steel is much lighter than lead, or if you're using, say, copper, in the same sense, copper's going to weigh, they're going to try to cram it in there to really kind of be the equivalent weight of your lead projectile, but the reason most manufacturers really like lead is because it's really easy to manufacture, because lead's very palatable. And then the other side of this, too, is steel is really, really hard. So you're more than likely going to actually penetrate all the way through your target with a steel shot.
Yeah, it's we're going to lose that spread of that bullet upon impact, which is so beneficial in dropping that animal where he stands, as opposed to wounding that animal.
Right.
So for that reason, I'm not a big fan of this change, and I'm sure a lot of guys, a lot of hunters are not out in California. Tell me what kind of offerings you guys at Aguila have for the guy that wants to shoot non-lead.
Yeah, so we actually got a couple of products. We are working in R&D, actually, looking at some different options, but currently we don't have a big offering of non-lead products. Obviously, our main factory in Mexico, we still use a lead shot tower. We actually form it at the top and actually allow gravity to form the lead pellets. And then actually, there's some other products we're working on currently where we have lead FMJs, basically, where the core is lead. So at this time, we're in the works of trying to develop and trying to get ahead of the curve in California, but we definitely have target ammo for the guys at the ranges that they can still use. But, yeah, it's definitely making the industry change drastically for us manufacturers on our end.
Yeah, I'm sure all of the ammo companies now are sitting back saying, you know, if we weren't busy enough already, let's focus on this now to try to take care of our hunters and shooters out in California. Bottom line, this means for you folks in California that enjoy the shooting sports and you like to hunt, you need to get to the range and practice before you ever pull a trigger on that first critter, and find as much ammo as you can and get out and spend some time on the range, which is always good for us anyway, Cody.
That's right. Practice makes perfect.
Have you had time to get out on the range lately, or do they keep you in the office these days, kind of buckled down?
Well, luckily I have a range on site, so actually anytime I need to go to the range, I have to walk maybe 50 feet.
I really like your job, Cody. Research and development at Aguila Ammunition. That's not a bad deal.
No, sir, it isn't.
That's pretty good. I like to brag that sometimes my office is a bass boat and yours is a range 50 steps down the hall. Hey, Cody, thank you so much for your input and expertise. Greatly appreciate that, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you in the future about other issues that come up.
Sure, Bill. Appreciate you having me on the call.
Welcome to Big Billy Kender Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club. When we're not in the great outdoors, we're thinking about it. Come on into the camp house and make yourself at home.
In a nutshell, the DSC is low overhead and high return to wildlife conservation, outdoors education, and the preservation of hunting, fishing, and shooting. BigGame.org.
I've got to pass along a big BBKO pat on the back to Tim Wilcox in Rockwall, Texas. He won the Skeeter Bass Champs bass tournament recently. Lake Fork, Texas, caught a 9.65, and that did the trick. And now he's the proud owner of a brand new FX20 from Skeeter and a Yamaha SHO and power poles. Pretty nice victory there, especially when you consider that Tim had to beat more than 2,200 other anglers to win this big bass tournament every year on Lake Fork, Texas, the Skeeter Owners Tournament, the Skeeter Bass Champs Tournament. 26th year that they've done it. This corner of the camp house is brought to you by my friends at Purina Pro Plan. Long before I ever talked about the greatness of Pro Plan on the radio, I fed it to my hard-working bird dogs. Ever since Pro Plan became Pro Plan, I've been on the Pro Plan program. For my bird dogs, it's Pro Plan Performance Formula. 30% protein, 20% fat. It's a hot fuel. Feed it right on through the summertime. Don't change feeds. Just cut back the amount that you feed in the summer. Pick up the Pro Plan at Atwoods Ranch and Home Stores. Atwoods, located in Arkansas and Missouri, Kansas, Texas, and Oklahoma. Cesar Rodriguez of Carthage, Missouri, is up on the bragging board at bbkoradio.com. That's because he caught the new state record hybrid striper, 21 pounds, 11 ounces. Heck of a fish. Caught it May 19th out of Lake of the Ozarks. The previous striper hybrid record was 20 pounds, 8 ounces, and that goes all the way back to 1986. Same lake, Lake of the Ozarks. And Cesar says, by the way, I was fishing in Oklahoma and caught a 24-pound hybrid. He didn't tell us how he catches these giant hybrids, but he does. Congratulations, Caesar. He's on the bragging board at bbkoradio.com. Hey, if you want to send us your photos, it's real easy. bbkoradio.com. Just click on the bragging board, and there's a place there for you to upload your photos and a brief description from your iPhone, your Android, your pad, your laptop, whatever. And if you want to drop me a note, it's billy@bbkoradio.com. Hey, coming up a little later this hour, Lewis Rather is going to join us from the International Wildlife Crime Stoppers. He's going to talk about the good work they do and an opportunity for you to come shoot around the sporting clays with them at Lake Tahoe. How cool would that be? The IWC was recently in the news when they helped out with the largest ever global operation, resulting in 1,974 seizures and the identification of 1,400 suspects. It was called Operation Thunderstorm, an international operation against the illegal trade in wild animals and plants, including timber. 1.3 tons of elephant ivory seized. 4,000 birds, 27,000 reptiles among the specimens seized. 14 big cats, tiger, lion, leopard, jaguar. And the carcasses of 7 bears, including 2 polar bears. That's the good work that International Wildlife Crime Stoppers does. Captain Mark Bailey down in Florida took a fellow named Carlo Lopaparo and his family and friends fishing the other day. It was supposed to be a 12-hour trip, and the problem popped up about 7 hours in. They were about 60 miles offshore. Evidently, the son of one of the passengers went to get a beer for his uncle. Captain Bailey allegedly told the team to put it back. The youngster thought that he was joking, so continued on and brought the beverage down to his uncle. That's when Bailey reportedly followed him, grabbed him by the necklace, broke it, got a little violent. The charter captain was arrested for boating under the influence of alcohol and threatening and holding his passengers hostage. The captain was also allegedly under the influence of drugs during the trip. In Montana, Brandon Kyle Schuen, only 23 years old, has received a lifetime suspension of his hunting, fishing, and trapping rights. That's because he poached multiple big game animals in 2017. It's a shame. Kyle is so young and guided for a living. He also has 500 hours of community service to complete, 10 years of probation, and $33,000 in restitution to the state of Montana. Back in 2017, Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks found an abandoned bull carcass with the head cut off just outside of Hardin. A tip led investigators to Shewan, and further investigation revealed more illegal kills. A 6x4 mule deer buck, a 5x6 bull elk, a 6x6 bull elk with a broken seventh tine, a 6x6 bull elk with a dropped brow tine, two adult buck antelope, two turkeys, and trespassing charges while under suspension for trespassing. You know, one of the coolest things about Purina Pro Plan is the many, many, many hours, months, days, years that they have put into research for your dog's benefit. No matter the age, the physical condition, the lifestyle of your dog, there's a Pro Plan that specifically benefits them. Purina Pro Plan. It's at Atwoods Ranch and Home Stores. Hey, you can now archery hunt bull elk during the rut for the first time ever in Pennsylvania. And 14% more elk licenses are being issued for the 2019 elk season compared to last year. And your Pennsylvania hunting licenses for the upcoming seasons go on sale Monday. Let's stretch our legs and grab a cup of coffee. Hey, thanks for joining us in the camp house at BBKO Radio.
Good morning, this is Jim Shockey. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about them. With Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
Hi, I'm Corey Mason, Executive Director of Dallas Safari Club, and I want to welcome you to our show on great radio stations across the country and Sirius XM Channel 131. With humble beginnings, Dallas Safari Club began to grow through the years, as did our efforts to conserve wild things and wild places. Our membership has stretched beyond Dallas, Texas, and now reaches around the globe. We have continued to conserve precious resources, teach future outdoorsmen and women about the pure, safe joy of our outdoor heritage, and stand strong to protect your right to hunt, fish, and enjoy the shooting sports. Many thousands have seen the importance of our work and joined us at DSC. Safari can be an overnight camping trip at a state park or a hunt on a foreign continent. We at DSC celebrate safari near and far, and our hope through our partnership with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors is that you will see the importance of this work and become a part of it with us. To learn more about our mission and for membership information, spend a few minutes with us at biggame.org.
If you're a sportsman or woman or have a hunter or fisher in the family, the WorkSharp series of knife and tool sharpeners are a must. I have WorkSharp original sharpeners in the kitchen, the backpack, the garage, even the boat. After doing the field work on several deer and hogs in the past few months, my blades are sharper than ever. Fish hooks and kitchen knives as well. The WorkSharp original knife and tool sharpener makes any knife you own shaving sharp in just minutes. Pocket knives, kitchen knives, hunting and processing knives. How about scissors, game shears, hatchets, shovels, even lawnmower blades? Yes, WorkSharp Original will make them sharper than the day you bought them. Each WorkSharp sharpener is assembled by hand in Oregon by an American company that believes in local jobs and carries a 3-year warranty and the best customer service that you'll never need. Spring means turkeys, so when you visit your favorite sporting goods store, pick up a WorkSharp Original knife sharpener or check them out online at WorkSharpTools.com.
It is the dream of the animal rights fanatics to suppress your most natural connection to the earth. To sell you a life filled with urban fascinations. To ignore that death is life's unwavering partner. Together, creating a relationship between predator and prey that makes it possible for us all to survive. To the hunter, this world's most honest steward, these fantasies are the poisonous, perverted manipulations of social misfits who would take this planet hostage. They should startle you and awaken you to trust the hunter in your blood.
Will this be the year that you take that hunt of a lifetime? Outsmart that wily old buck that you've watched for years? Or maybe your son or daughter will harvest their first deer. You'll cherish the memory for life. So take care in choosing your taxidermist. Make sure that your memory maker is preserved for life as well. I want to recommend my taxidermist to you. Roy Holdridge at True Life Taxidermy in Granbury, Texas, preserves memories for hunters and fishers worldwide. Roy's done all of my work for the past quarter century, and his staff of award-winning artists can do custom work that stands out and separates True Life Taxidermy from the pack. From whitetail, axis, and elephant, European skull work, to full-body action mounts. No matter where you hunt or fish, True Life Taxidermy in Granbury, Texas will go beyond your expectations. True Life Taxidermy in Granbury can handle all of your meat processing needs as well. So from the field to your home, True Life is the only stop you'll need. Take a look right now at TrueLifeTaxidermy.org.
Come share our campfire and a good story or two. The Dallas Safari Club presents Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
If you enjoy a topwater plug bubbling over quiet water or the first glimpse of a sunrise from a frosty deer blind, then you are the DSC too. BigGame.org.
We have a stable of knowledgeable pros around this old camp house at Big Billy Kinder Outdoors that are just top notch. This guy has won a ton of money catching big green bass, fishing on the most elite levels of professional bass fishing. He now fishes the Major League Fishing Bass Pro Tour. You also see him fishing the Challenge Cup on television. My buddy Kelly Jordan, KJ, welcome back. I want to talk to you about something that affects all of us, whether we're bass fishermen, walleye chasers, crappie fishermen, and that is a slow bite and maintaining focus. I catch myself, particularly bass fishing, because it can be a long time between bites, losing focus and thinking, hey, these fish are just not going to bite today. I'm going to go get a cheeseburger. But in a tournament situation, you can't afford to just throw your hands up and go to the malt shop.
No, you can't. And it's like any other sport when you're competing, you have to, you know, reach down and find any strength that you can, use any inspiration that you can, and then question yourself and what you're doing if it's not working to get it done. Because one thing that we do know in our sport, because we've been doing it for so long, is that doesn't matter what you're doing, somebody is always catching them.
Right.
So if you know that's the fact and you got to keep that in your mind, then you know if you're not catching them, you know somebody is. What are you going to do to go catch them? So you can use that as inspiration to keep you focused, because the worst, I like to call, like, you know, I think back to like my Cody Bird, my little bull riding buddy from Texas. One of the terms in bull riding is if you fall in a well.
Right.
That's when you get in the center of the spin and you can't get out of it. It's like a black hole and you're just going to get sucked down into it, and there's no way. Once you fall in the well, you can't get out.
Right.
The same thing in fishing happens when you start questioning yourself and start telling yourself, what am I doing here? Why am I not catching them? I just don't know what's going on. You self-destruct. It's almost like you assassinate your own confidence in fishing, which is, you can't afford to do that. You can't second guess a lot of the stuff you can do. You got to stay so positive that you know that somebody's catching them somewhere, and you just need to keep changing and adjusting until you figure out that pattern. If you can do that, you'll come out way ahead. If you start questioning yourself and shooting holes in everything you got and, you know, beating yourself up, which I am guilty of that a lot of times as well, that's the well in bass fishing. If you fall into that well, it is so hard to recover. So what I would tell you is to try to keep in the forefront of your mind that somebody's always catching them, and they can be caught. They are there where you're fishing, and you just have not put it together yet, and you need to keep trying and keep a positive attitude. That's the secret. Is it easy to do that, what I just told you? Heck no. But that's what you need to try to do to not only have the best day you can on the water, catch a lot of fish, but if you are in a tournament or any tournament, team tournament, pro, whatever, it's all the same. It's for you to catch them as good as you can. You've got to have that attitude and that drive and keep that, it's a pressure on yourself, plus it's the right mental attitude to succeed. And like I said, not easy, but that is what you need to be trying to do.
The other end of the spectrum, I know as a field trialer running my bird dogs before in competitions, there's days when I go out And I know I've got the right dog. I know we've worked right. I know we've planned right. I know what we need to be doing, and we can't put a bird on the scorecard. Other days, the other end of that spectrum, we go out for a 30-minute race, and I've found every bird in the field in 9 minutes. You can't do anything wrong, man. You have days like that, too.
Yeah, well, that's the zone that we always look for in sports, and it happens in bass fishing. Whatever that is, nobody's defined it yet, except they call it the zone.
Man, if you could bottle that.
Yeah, you'd be a billionaire. Yeah. But, yeah, that's, you know, a lot of times when people get in that zone, they try to backtrack and they try to think, how did this happen, and go through it and truly, you know, try to see what's going on. You know, and I'll be honest with you, a lot of times when that happens to somebody is when they are just totally free. Maybe they didn't have high expectations of what was going to happen, and so they're just going with the flow and able to make much more good adjustments than on those days when they knew exactly what they were going to do and already had a preconceived mindset.
Yep.
So, yes, there is that. So those are, you know, two ends of the spectrum, like you said. Where you want to stay is in the middle of that if you can. If you're so dialed in that you know exactly what you're going to be doing and you know exactly how you're going to catch them, man, you have figured them out, and you're the man.
But you make one little slip, and you're in the well.
Well, if you get stuck in that rut, though, and don't let yourself get out of it, you're going to end up in the wall somewhere, and everybody else is going to pass you. So, yeah, you know, that's just one more thing that keeps, you know, makes the sport of fishing so exciting. And, you know, if everybody was making holes in one in golf every time, nobody would play golf. It's the same in bass fishing. It's a challenge, and when you figure it out or you have one of those days where everything goes right, you know, it's something that you can't hardly put a value on. It's a day you'll remember for your whole life, and it just makes it that much more exciting. Sense of accomplishment, you name it, you know, and that's what keeps us going.
My buddy KJ Kelly Jordan, thanks, Kelly, from the Major League Fishing Bass Pro Tour. Don't forget the Purina Pro Plan. Stock up before you hit the road for that long summer road trip. You'll find the Purina Pro Plan at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores, Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Kansas, and Missouri. You know, it's that time of year when people are out looking for hunting leases, trying to get that nailed down for the fall. And I want to talk a little bit about not necessarily the country that you're going to lease, but that person that you're going to deal with, the lease manager or ranch owner. And I want to talk to you, Pete Delkus, my hunting buddy Pete Delkus, about that, because you've leased a lot of country as I have through the years. And I say you go first things first, sit down with that ranch owner or manager, have lunch with them, have a good, honest conversation with them. That way there's no surprises coming from either of you after the season starts. And that relationship with that landowner or rancher is just as important as the country that you're looking at.
It may be, in some cases, it may be more key. You know what I mean? I mean, that's great advice for people. You know, you have to know who you're dealing with first. So, if the property looks good, that's only step number one. There's a whole lot of other consideration to have there.
Yeah. I've got to brag on my rancher, and I'm not going to tell anyone who he is because you Jake Legs will run out and try to lease my place out from under me. But I've had a great relationship with him for 13 years. I've been on his place, and it's a family-type relationship. My family has spent Christmas at his home with his family several times. And this year with the drought and he's just not seeing birds in the pasture, he called me up and said, Bill, keep your money this year. Let's lay off the birds. I won't lease it out from under you. I'll lease from this guy till the day I die or just can't go anymore. The other end of the spectrum, there are nightmares out there, too.
Oh, and, you know, we all hear about these nightmares year in and year out. And your guy is certainly, Sam will call him to protect the name, but your guy is certainly the exception to the rule. I've actually never met a person as kind and generous and as reasonable as your rancher. But not all people are that way. You know, it takes all kinds. Of course, the ranching community, too. But, yeah, you've got to be very careful because, you know, a lot of these people aren't going to be that even-handed or fair-minded, and they're going to take advantage of you just to get the money, and then they're going to move on to somebody else the next year. And right now, as bad as the weather's been, as severe as the drought has been, as horrible as our lack of rainfall has been, there are just ranches all over the place to lease. This year, I'm not leasing a place.
Yeah.
For the first time since I've lived here, I'm not going to do a lease because it's just bad everywhere. It's really tough, and I'd rather just go somewhere else, maybe go out of state, take a few trips, and be a little more efficient with my time use this year.
No, I understand. When you say those things about Sam, you're right on the money, and I really appreciate him.
Well, and you know what? And you know, I've heard plenty of guys tell me stories, and I had a guy tell me a story just a couple of weeks ago. He said, you know, like your rancher says, hey, you know, we're not going to do it this year. I'm not going to lease to anybody. I've even had guys tell me, hey, it's so bad, my rancher has refunded our money. But now that's on one hand. On the other extreme, had a guy tell me a couple of weeks ago that his rancher said, hey, I'll cut the price in half this year. But now next year, you know, next year I'm going to have to go back to the same amount and then make up the money that I cut in half. And it's like, well, hold on a second here. You know, something's better than nothing. I'll just move on, go to the next place. And as bad as it is right now, you're going to have a hard time filling the lease. And so, you know, you got to be careful with these guys.
Tom Tocci Hayes.
I'm Cuz Strickland.
And when I'm not in the great outdoors,
I'm thinking about it.
In my mossy oak.
With Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
Do you love to crappie fish like I do? Hey, Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie here to invite you and your family to the Crappie Expo in Hot Springs, Arkansas for crappie fanatics like you. There will be over 90 crappie fishing manufacturers and dealers selling and showing today's top crappie fishing products in the world. Get your crappie gear up to date at the Crappie Expo. Come see the top 100 crappie teams competing in the first $100,000 Mr. Crappie Invitational Tournament on Lake Hamilton, October 4th through 6th at the Game and Fish Boat Ramp facility. The world's largest crappie fry will be held Saturday, October the 5th, starting at 11 a.m. till we run out of fillets. Bring your family, enjoy fried crappie, french fried taters, hush puppies, free for everyone. Be sure to get your tickets at the Crappie Expo. Special thanks to Lucas Oil, Strike King, Lou's, Bullet Weights, Ranger Boats, B&M Poles, Pure Fishing, RV Cajun Cookers, Horns Outdoors, and H2O Sports. Crappie Expo!
Don't miss it, October 4th through 6th in Hot Springs, Arkansas. When I have engine trouble in the middle of the night, in the middle of nowhere, my Ram truck dealer came to my rescue, two states away. They took the time on the phone to give clear instructions and got me rolling again in just a few hours. Plus, saved me $3,000. Lone Star Autoplex in Cleburne, Texas can help with your new and used car needs too. Even if you're in a different state. Family owned, family care. Dan and Kimberly Danley at Lone Star Cleburne. LoneStarCDJ.com.
Since 2003, Bended Knee International has answered the call to take the good news of Jesus Christ and the hope of the gospel to the Navajo Nation and the people of Siberia. Many have never heard the simple but magnificent message that Christ is God, who loves us so much that He died for our sins, defeated death, and rose again. The simple message of salvation brings the gift of eternal life if we'll only believe it. I am Tom Watson, president of Bended Knee International. Learn more about Bended Knee at bendedknee.org.
From the deck of your private cabin overlooking the confluence of the famous White and Norfolk Rivers at Norfolk Resort Trout Dock, you can see crystal clear running waters that hold one of the world's greatest populations of rainbow and brown trout. In fact, this is the home of world record trout. You might be distracted, though, by the beautiful rolling Ozark Mountains that hold you during your stay. Just up the road a few miles is incredible bass fishing for largemouth, smallmouth, and spots. You'll find the best guides in the business at Norfolk Resort, and your boat is just a short walk from your cabin. Your guide will find a gravel shoal perfect for preparing a hot shore lunch with fresh caught trout and all the trimmings. You'll think about a nap after lunch, but there's more fish to catch and river to explore before retiring to your fully furnished riverside hideaway. Sound good? Of course it does. Norfolk Resort Trout Dock in Norfolk, Arkansas. NorfolkResort.com. National outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby knows of what he writes.
I think I probably hunted in just about every western state. And I fly fished in a lot of those places.
He's fished the waters, walked the land, and harvested the game that makes him authentic.
That's where the basis of that comes from. I wanted to make this really authentic, and I wanted people to identify with it. Guys like you and I have a real hard time finding good stuff to read, because it's written by guys that just don't know what the heck they're writing about. And guys like you and I, we read two pages and we say, hey, that's phony. This is not the way it is.
Ever since The Old Man and the Sea, fishing novels have been scarce on the horizon. That was until national outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby wrote his Blue Water classic, The Tournament. Chuck Winchler of Sporting Classics says you can read the tournament in about the time it takes to catch a big marlin. And every moment will be just as fun, just as exciting. Jennifer Mayhall of Paradise This Week says, the tournament reels you into the world of sport fishing and doesn't let you go. The Tournament by Ken Kirkaby. Get it on Amazon.
When you visit the Vineyards Campground and Cabins in Grapevine, Texas, you'll feel like you're millions of miles away from the hustle and bustle of the city. Our lakefront campground features great amenities like our huge new pavilion that's perfect for family reunions, weddings, and holiday gatherings. High-def cable at every site and fast free Wi-Fi too. The Vineyards Campground and Cabins can accommodate any size bus or RV, and we supply 50-amp service to every campsite. Our cabins are roomy and comfortable with views of beautiful Grapevine Lake. And our well-supplied camp store has everything you need for a campfire cookout or a trip to our private sandy beach. Bring the boat and enjoy our private boat ramp. No lines and no crowded parking. Want to visit shops with that special find or the latest and greatest? No problem. You're just a few blocks away from historic Main Street and Grapevine Mills Mall. The award-winning Vineyards Campground and Cabins on Grapevine Lake. Pay us a visit right now at VineyardsCampground.com. That's VineyardsCampground.com.
You're in good conservation company with the Dallas Safari Club and Big Billy Kender Outdoors.
Our hunting and fishing heritage is much too precious not to protect and nurture. That's our job at DSC, and we take our work seriously. BigGame.org.
Have you ever considered the muzzleloader? It opens up new hunting seasons and fun range opportunities. I had a conversation with the Dallas Safari Club's Frank Sweeney about that.
You kind of have to ease into it. It's not like just walking in the hardware store and buying a gun and getting a box of bullets.
Right.
And the problem is so many people, there's just not that many people around that know a whole lot about muzzleloading, particularly in this part of the country. You find a lot more back in Pennsylvania, back east.
It would be really wise to seek out a local muzzleloading club and latch onto a group of educated people, right?
That's correct. In Friendship, Indiana, where the National Muzzleloading Rifle Association is, there are charter clubs all over the United States. Muzzle Blast is a magazine that's published monthly. They can get in touch with them by looking them up on the internet. Find out if there's a local club in their area. Or, you know, they can ask at gun stores. Most of the gun stores around the country will know of somebody, probably have heard of a muzzleloading club, know of a store that kind of specializes in it that may have it. A lot of your Cabela's, Bass Pro, a lot of those, they have some muzzleloading equipment,
right,
but not a whole lot. But they can usually steer you in the right direction. So if people will just go and ask questions and just keep asking questions, sooner or later they'll find somebody that can help them.
Equipment needed. If I want to hunt turkeys, can I get a shotgun and muzzleloader?
Absolutely. I have several of them, and I shoot them all the time. I've killed several limits of doves with them. I've never killed a turkey with one. All the turkeys I've killed have been with a modern gun. But I just didn't happen to have my muzzleloader with me at the time. Otherwise, I could have got one with my muzzleloader.
So what basic equipment am I going to need if I want to start muzzleloading? What do I need to buy?
Well, of course, you need a gun, and then you need a powder, and then you need bullets, either balls or slugs. And if you're going to use balls, you need patching material. You need a good ramrod. And you need to know about how to load the gun before you go.
I like to compete. I can't run as fast as I used to, but my bird dogs compete for me in field trials now. And I'm sure you guys have some spirited and fun competition with your muzzleloaders.
When I first joined the club, if you could shoot 35 out of 50 on a target, you were probably doing pretty well. We've got people now that if you don't score at least a 45 on a target, you probably won't even come in third. So it's unbelievable. These guns are just as accurate as any modern rifle.
Right.
You take two of them off the shelf, though, and load them with the same material, and they're not going to shoot exactly the same. And what a lot of people will not do is they don't go out and shoot them enough to learn what it's going to take to make the gun shoot properly and accurately. And then they don't take the time to clean them. And with all the hydrogen sulfide and everything else that's created when the powder goes off, particularly with black powder, if you put one of these guns up for even a week in a very humid environment, you probably have ruined the barrel. It's
really.
I mean, it'll rust that quick.
And practice. Anything we do, you've got to get to the range. You've got to practice. The last thing you want to do is think, okay, well, it's August. I'm going to run down here and buy myself a muzzleloader. I've never owned one in my life. And then in a month, I'm going to go out and shoot a deer with that thing. You need to learn your accuracy and your yardage and make sure that we're ethical hunters when we do go to the field. What kind of range can I expect to deer hunt with a muzzleloader?
If you're not using a scope, it shoots about like a 30-30 does. Okay. Out to about 75 yards, it's going to be pretty flat. To 100 yards, you're going to get 3 or 4 or 5 inches of drop. By the time you get to 125 yards, it's going to drop off maybe 15 inches or so. So it really falls off once you get. So I personally would not shoot at a deer with open sights much more than about 60 yards away.
And with a sight, with a scope?
Well, I've never shot one with a scope, so I don't know. Obviously, these people... in some states, you cannot use a scope in Colorado, and a lot of people don't know. The first thing you got to learn is what are the rules in the state you want to shoot in, and find out what you can and what you can't use. I've seen people on TV shoot animals as far as 200, 300, 400 yards away with a scope muzzleloader, but obviously they've got them sighted in at that distance. They're using range finders. They know exactly what, and maybe they have 3 or 4 of them there with them.
Yeah.
Depending on, you know, what the range of the animal is. Or either that or they know how to adjust their scopes. But but without a scope, I think you're really making a mistake if you try to shoot one any further than 60, 65, 70 yards.
And a lot of people don't realize this, but as far as purchasing a muzzleloader, it's a whole lot easier than purchasing a gun. You can walk in, pay money, and purchase your muzzleloader and walk out with it without paperwork, right?
That's correct, because they're not considered a firearm under the federal law definition of a firearm.
I wonder why that is. Do you understand that rule any deeper?
Well, a lot of the rule goes back to it doesn't apply also to guns that are more than 100 years old or called curios. And you can buy a gun that's more than 100 years old that doesn't use available, even a modern gun, that without having to do all the paperwork. And so I guess it relates to the fact that most of these guns, basically as far as the United States, pretty much went out of use in the 1840s, 1850s. By the time of the Civil War, most of them were using cartridge guns, if they could possibly do so.
I tell you what, it's a whole new world. If you've been hunting or enjoying the shooting sports for years and you've never tried this, it is a whole new ball game, isn't it? It's just fun.
Well, it is, and I go down and shoot on a Sunday afternoon, and our matches are 5-shot matches in 30 minutes. There's no rush. People say, well, don't you get bored? No, you don't get bored. And I'm just shooting at different targets with fairly light loads, and I can shoot 40 or 50 rounds in 3 or 4 hours, and the next day, my shoulder, you won't even know I've been shooting a 50 caliber. So 50, 45 or 50 caliber sounds huge when you're thinking about modern guns.
Right.
But in terms of muzzle loading, that's not really. In fact, once you get into the smaller calibers, like the 32s, the 36s, the 40s, you have a lot of trouble with fouling because the powder is so dirty.
Yeah.
Once it goes off, and you're really better off with a 45, 50, or even a 54.
And see, that's why people need to know someone like you, Frank, so they can go talk to an expert and ask these questions. You mentioned back east earlier. What was that?
Well, a couple of things. Chuck Dixon has a shop outside of Allentown, Pennsylvania. He has a fair every July and draws about 7,000 people out to his, this is out in the country, with all kinds of tents set up, unbelievable, and there's just clubs all over the state where they shoot. Then they have all the big shoots in Indiana, both at Friendship, and they have continual shoots there. There are a lot more people active back east in that. I was told at one time there's over 100,000 hunters every year that buy a muzzle-loading tag, deer tag into the state of Pennsylvania.
Wow.
Now, that's a lot of muzzle-loading.
That is a lot of muzzle-loading, yeah. And the heritage and the roots are deep in that part of the world, too. We didn't even mention this yet. Muzzle-loaders open up more hunting days for you. There are special muzzle-loading seasons that can get you in the woods more.
Well, there are. In Texas, the Parks and Wildlife people decided to tag it on at the very end of our deer season, so it's the second and third week in January. But there are some states in which it's the first thing that you're allowed to do is go out and shoot a muzzle loader.
Yeah.
And, of course, you can use a muzzle loader during the regular deer season if you want to. You're not restricted from doing that. So, but yeah, and a lot of, and it varies from state to state. And that's why it's extremely important. In fact, if you live in a state and you're thinking about buying a muzzleloader, the first thing you need to do is find out what's legal in your state.
Well, Frank, thank you for sharing your expertise with us on the radio show. I greatly appreciate it. And I just know that you're going to pique the interest of a lot of new muzzleloader folks.
Well, I hope so. And it's certainly been a pleasure to be able to be on your show. Thank you.
Talking muzzle loading with the Dallas Safari Club's Frank Sweeney. Let's grab a cup of coffee.
Hey, everybody. It's Dominic Zamito with Two Rivers Fly Shop in North Fork, Arkansas. When I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm sure thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. Billy, are you sinking? It looks like you've got a heck of a hole in your waders there.
Hey guys, don't lose that bragfish today. We've all done it. A weak hook set, a late sweep with the rod, giant jumpers that throw that heavy jig back in our faces. The folks at Trapper Tackle have solved the lost fish issue. For the first time in forever, there's meaningful innovation in the fish hook. The Trapper Tackle iCast Best in Show winner 2 years back-to-back has a unique patented design that locks your catch until you have her in your hands. It's this one-of-a-kind locking system that keeps your plastics in place, cast after cast after cast, too. Trapper Tackle makes hooks for all finesse, live bait, and plastics presentations. Treble hooks for your hard baits, too. When you first take a look at Trapper Tackle hooks, you'll probably scratch your head. When you pose up with that behemoth that didn't get away, you'll smile ear to ear. Trapper Tackle and Bill Lewis have partnered a legend with a state-of-the-art hook design to produce the Rattle Trapper. You need some of those, too. Get them at TrapperTackle.com. Lock them in and load the boat. TrapperTackle.com. Did you see Mark Daniels Jr. catch 70 pounds of Lake Oahe, South Dakota smallmouth bass during the Bassmaster Elite Series? I did. I watched him from Jim's boat where we were busy catching those delicious Oahe walleye. The folks at Spring Creek Fishing and Hunting Resort on Lake Oahe, same place that the elites stayed and launched, prepared them for us every night in their award-winning restaurant and bar. They do walleye 7 different ways, all terrific, but the beer batter is my favorite. Oh, and don't miss the USDA Prime Steaks, aged for tenderness and hand-cut on site. From the restaurant, it's every bit of a 60-second walk to your lakeside cabin with a sprawling front porch, big-screen TV, and private bedroom and bathrooms. Time for a little rest, because Jim will pick us up again at the breakfast table tomorrow morning, and we'll head back out to world-class Oahe walleye and smallmouth fishing. Ask David and Angela about private charter jet service for your group to Spring Creek Fishing and Hunting Resort, springcreeksd.com.
Hi, I'm Corey Mason, Executive Director of Dallas Safari Club, and I want to welcome you to our show on great radio stations across the country and Sirius XM Channel 131. With humble beginnings, Dallas Safari Club began to grow through the years, as did our efforts to conserve wild things and wild places. Our membership has stretched beyond Dallas, Texas, and now reaches around the globe. We have continued to conserve precious resources, teach future outdoors men and women about the pure, safe joy of our outdoor heritage, and stand strong to protect your right to hunt, fish, and enjoy the shooting sports. Many thousands have seen the importance of our work and joined us at DSC. Safari can be an overnight camping trip at a state park or a hunt on a foreign continent. We at DSC celebrate safari near and far, and our hope through our partnership with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors is that you will see the importance of this work and become a part of it with us. To learn more about our mission and for membership information, spend a few minutes with us at biggame.org.
The Moore family at Southwestern Parts and Service in Dallas has been specializing in fishing reel repair since 1970. Early on, fishermen nationwide recognized that Southwestern Parts and Service was dependable, honest, and very good at what they do. With the largest fishing reel parts inventory in the U.S. and even some inventory for obsolete and discontinued models. Yes, Grandpa's old reel sitting on the mantel can go back to work again. Southwestern Parts is recognized by folks like Shimano, Abu Garcia, Daiwa, Penn, and Zebco Quantum as an authorized warranty center. And labor on fishing reels is $19.95 plus parts on most models, and that includes cleaning and lubrication. And with six full-time reel techs, Southwestern Parts and Service strives to get your equipment back into your hands quickly. Is your local reel shop having trouble finding parts for repair? We can help. Come see us at www.fishingreelrepair.com. That's fishingreelrepair.com. 214-630-8161. We do work for customers worldwide, and we can help you too.
The old camp house floor creaks a little, but don't worry. You're on solid ground with the Dallas Safari Club and Big Billy Kender Outdoors.
Remember the thrill of open morning in the deer blind? At the DSC, we work very hard to ensure that your great-grandkids will too. BigGame.org.
Hey, have you ever heard of International Wildlife Crime Stoppers? They're a really important organization, and the executive director is a friend of mine, Lewis Rather. Welcome to the show, Lewis. Been a while.
It has, Billy. How have you been?
I have been really good, and I'm excited to talk to you because you guys are always on the move and keeping an eye on our critters for us internationally. I know a lot of people are familiar with Operation Game Thief and units within their states to help police wildlife crime, but International Wildlife Crime Stoppers, you guys cross borders. You work with our friends in Canada and just about everywhere else to stop the bad guys.
Yes, sir. As we both know, poaching knows no state or country boundary, and each state does have their own Crime Stoppers program. They may go by different names, Operation Game Thief in Texas, Turn In a Poacher in Georgia. It doesn't matter what the name of it is. The theory and the philosophy and the focus is the same. We work hard at gathering information so we can catch the poachers and put them in jail.
Yeah, and you do a really good job of that. Can you give us, for instance, where we've worked with Canada or some other country and had some success, just so folks can get an idea?
Well, sure. Like a couple of years ago, there was some big cases going on up there with some bears across the Canadian border there at Maine. And so Maine, as you know, is one of our major partners. In fact, Sergeant Chris Simmons is my assistant director out of Maine Warden Service. And so they work hand in hand with those folks in Canada there because people are shooting those bears and coming across country lines. And you're not only talking about a violation within the country of Canada, the United States, you're talking about a Lacey Act violation, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service as well. So it only doesn't encompass just Canada. And then the Maine wardens, now you're getting in U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service involved because it's a Lacey Act violation. So we get everyone involved, but it starts at the local level, and that's where IWC comes in across North America to help each state and our Canadian provinces.
Our Canadian neighbors have been very helpful in this and cooperative and eager partners, haven't they?
Absolutely. In fact, Operation Thunderstorm, you might have heard about, it's a program that's trying to stop poaching all around the globe, and there's been lots of cases filed. One in particular where Canada was involved, which is our member, is a bunch of eels were trying to be imported illegally into the country, and they intercepted that up there in Canada. The eels were coming from Asia. And so people don't think about that, but eel is a wildlife resource. Money's made off the wildlife resource, and it's theft. That's all there is to it. It's theft.
Yeah, 18 tons, I believe it was the final there. 18 tons of eels brought in illegally as a food source for Canada, and your International Wildlife Crime stopped them. How about Mexico? Do we have a working relationship with them? Are they willing do they ever pitch in and help a little bit?
Not yet. Now, I do know that Ducks Unlimited has a program going on with Mexico now and their chapters down there, but we don't yet. Of course, you got to remember that even though we're an NGO, non-governmental organization, we weren't started by private citizens. We were started and still managed by law enforcement officers. So sometimes that gets a little touchy when you start talking to other countries such as Mexico saying, we're law enforcement officers, want to talk directly to you about poaching across country lines. That doesn't mean it won't ever happen. It just takes time to accumulate those relationships, just like we have with Canada.
We're visiting with Lewis Rather, the executive director of the International Wildlife Crime Stoppers. Learn more at bbkoradio.com. Lewis, you guys have a huge event coming up. I believe it's at Lake Tahoe.
No, absolutely. In fact, the actual conference is July 14th through the 17th. But one of the things that I wanted to institute when I became director, and it seems to be working pretty well, is to have fundraisers like we do at Texas OGT. As you know, we have three sporting clay events in Texas, and that's what supports our OGT program. Well, we're doing the same thing on an international level. This year, this is not the first year we've had a sporting clay event, but it's going to be the second year that we have a sporting clay event the day before our conference starts. So, therefore, on July 13th, which is a Saturday, so the entire public can come, man, woman, and child, participate and have a good time. We're having a sporting clay event in Carson City, Nevada at the Capital City Gun Club, and that's the day before our conference actually starts up the hill there at Lake Tahoe.
Wonderful. That's going to be a really good time, Ken. Are you full, or can folks participate in that, and how would they learn more?
Absolutely. We need a lot of folks to come out and join us and support what's happening, because when they support IWC, they are supporting every game warden across the United States and Canada. Now, they can go online at internationalwildlifecrimestoppers.org, and on our homepage, you'll see the banner at the top says Sporting Clays. Click on the banner, and immediately the page comes up, the who, what, when, where, and how, and how you can register online.
Very good. Okay, we're going to put a link up at bbkoradio.com as well. Lewis, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. As always, very grateful for the work that you and International Wildlife Crime Stoppers do. Great job.
Well, take care of yourself, and people like you help us do it. Take care, Billy.
Bad boys, bad boys. Oh, what you gonna do? Oh, what you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad boys.
And they will catch up with you, bad boys. That's Lewis Rather. He is the executive director of the International Wildlife Crime Stoppers. There's a link at bbkoradio.com. If you'd like to learn more about the good work that they do, or if maybe you'd like to go shoot in that Sporting Clays event at beautiful Lake Tahoe. We're almost out of time, but my friend Larry Wysoon, Mr. Whitetail, is here, biologist, outdoor writer, television host, conservationist, and all-around good old boy. Larry, good to see you again, and I want to talk about one of our favorite topics, and that's food. You've hunted all over the world and eaten all kinds of wild game, so what do you like the best? What have you really enjoyed?
I've had the opportunity to hunt Africa quite a few times. One of the best things I've ever eaten in Africa is an eland. I mean, the eland is out of this world good. It's like a fine aged beef. Has a little bit of marbling in it. And even the old bulls, if you take an old bull, don't need to do any marinating or anything like that. It's still very, very tender. The most surprising thing that I ate in Africa that I thought was one of the best things I've ever eaten, too, is zebra. Now, a lot of people may be opposed to eating horses, but the zebra is extremely wild, totally different animal from what most people think in terms of horses. But I shot one several years ago, and I had read all these years prior to that how zebra was the most horrible tasting stuff in the world. Nobody should be eating it. And I come to find out after I tasted it, I understand why, because all the PHs and all the locals were saying, you don't want any of that stuff. It's no good. So they would take it. But, you know, almost anywhere you go, there's absolutely some fabulous food in terms of wild game, and sometimes it's fish, sometimes it's a bird or fowl, and sometimes it's a big game animal as well. But to me, the main thing is to keep an open mind when somebody says, hey, try some of this.
Yeah.
Don't close your mind to the fact, well, I ain't going to like this. Right. You know, just keep an open mind, taste it, and almost invariably you're going to go, oh, my gosh, let me have some more of that.
Right. Hey, if you can get over the mental hump and put that frog leg in your mouth, you've never tasted anything finer, I promise you. What about North American game? We talked about the axis deer, obviously. That's gold.
I'll tell you what, some of the finest whitetail deer I've ever eaten came out of the Midwest, where it's basically corn-fed. They're on corn, soybeans, and alfalfa, and a few other things growing out there. Really, really good. And again, also moose. Moose is out of this world good as well, and there's a lot of moose meat when you put a moose used out. And of course, elk is always good. And I think the biggest thing is in the preparation as far as the carcass itself and then the preparation of the meat. Most people have a tendency to overcook venison, and I think that is the biggest problem they run into. If they did it a little bit more on the rare side, I think they'd be really surprised. And I know a lot of times we've been on hunts and people go, oh my God, you know, you talk to them and say, I just can't stand elk, I can't stand moose, I don't want any deer, I don't want any of this. And yet they'll be in camp the entire week and ask for second and thirds, and that's what they've eaten the whole time, thinking it was good beef or maybe something else. So it's just a lot of times it's a mental thing more than it is the taste bud thing.
Yeah, I've seen that too with people. Hey, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the time we've had together in this old camp house today, and invite you back to join us again next time around. Major League Fishing star Jacob Wheeler will be my special guest next time. Until then, may God bless you and your bunch.